which got me into a little bit of trouble.
That's not even funny.
Can't believe we came up with a whole episode, pretty much.
I'd be like, all right, I got 10 minutes. And I'd run to the computer, fucking pull my pants down.
The fire is dying.
I can't even say it. So stupid.
Mr. Yorick!
Welcome to the But You're Wrong podcast. I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Padilla.
We now join the But You're Wrong podcast, already in progress.
Let's talk about 2017. My hope is that things will be less PC.
Less PC? Yeah. I agree. I would love... Well, I mean, look at our president.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hope right there. That's the dream.
Yeah, right? He's gonna cure all that, craziness. But
My biggest thing is I'm glad that he's finally going to get rid of the negative stereotype of Russia, which I think we really need.
Yeah. I mean, I know what it will probably say is that we're better off economically just working with them instead of like us and them busting each other's chops all the time, which is probably true. But like, what guarantees do we have that they're not going to just keep doing it to us?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, I don't know. I mean, they're great enemies though. As we've discussed, like they're great bad guys.
Yeah.
Like I want my Bond movies to have Russian bad guys.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So, I mean,
or like former Soviet Union bad guys at the least.
Right. Which, yeah, I mean, Putin, perfect. I mean, not that Putin would be the bad guy. That'd be great if he just plays a bad guy in a Bond movie. And you're like, what?
What is this?
He takes his shirt off a lot.
He does. Now, here's the thing, though. I have a theory that I think he only did it once, and then it just became like a thing that they think he's known for.
You think so?
Yeah, maybe. Like, I think he did it once. And everyone was like, oh, Putin likes to take his shirt off.
Okay, because I don't know. Like, I was... You see all the pictures, and he's, like, riding the horse with no shirt, or he's, like fishing and all this shit. It might have been just, like, one trip, where he did all this shit.
Let me put it this way. I don't think he's taken his shirt off any more than the average Russian.
Because the way they portray it is like he's like the Ja Rule of Russia.
Yeah.
Like he just doesn't own a shirt.
Like his life is like a movie starring a hot guy and they just need an excuse for him to take a shirt off.
Yeah. I mean, you know, not my thing. I prefer to keep my shirt on.
Yeah.
I like guys who weren't captioned. I like guys who keep their shirt on. But, you're probably right. It probably was, like, one, maybe two instances, and people just went apeshit and put those pictures everywhere.
Yeah. Like, he did it while he was, like, out mowing the lawn, riding a horse or something. Or like just a couple times, and then all of a sudden people were like, wow, he really likes to take his shirt off.
Yeah, he was, like, out doing, like, man things.
Yeah.
Like, he was, like, riding the horse and shooting a gun and all that shit. People were like, oh, yeah. Look at this guy, no shirt.
And there was a time when guys did that like a lot when they were working out on the farm and in the fields and doing, you know, manly shit.
Take the shirt off?
Take the shirt off, yeah. Like in Cool Hand Luke. Take my shirt off here, boss. Taking the shirt off there. And they would just be, you know, hacking at the side of the road without their shirts on.
just, you know, I got work to do outside.
It's hot. I'm just going to take my shirt off.
Shirt off.
I take my pants off, but then I hurt my dick, so I'm just gonna leave my pants on, shirt off, dick protected. I'm a little bit cooler.
I guess.
Before we get into the main event, so to speak.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've actually seen this phrase come up. hang on, let me see if I can find that shit. Now the picture I took. Oh, here it is. Okay. The first time I've seen this phrase come up on my Facebook feed, because I know somebody who commented on this. And I don't know if you heard about this.
Good.
But it's incredibly stupid. How the F do Netflix believe that this is anywhere near acceptable to host and stream this vile content? And then this is the phrase that I have yet to... I've heard people discuss, but I've never actually seen. Trigger warning to my friends. The article and the YouTube video have homophobic slurs.
What?
Trigger warning. Have you heard the phrase trigger warning before?
No.
So trigger warning is you're supposed to give trigger warnings in case somebody will be triggered by something that may upset them.
Oh God.
Let me get an actual definition of trigger warning here for you. Trigger warning. This is from the Google. A statement at the start of a piece of writing, video, etc., alerting the reader or viewer to the fact that it contains potentially distressing material.
Oh God. Potentially distressing material.
Yeah, here's a quick lesson on what trigger warnings actually do from our friends over at the Huffington Post.
Oh, yeah, my good friends.
Let's see, the University of Chicago.
They must love them.
Oh, so I forgot about this, too. The University of Chicago, this is how I found out what they were, sent a welcome letter to incoming freshmen posted online Wednesday, where they made it abundantly clear that they do not support trigger warnings or safe spaces in classes or on campus. In other words, students who may be susceptible to mental health issues like post-traumatic stress disorder or panic attacks are underserving of a warning or undeserving, I think is what it should say.
Yes.
That's not what it says, but I think that's what it's supposed to say. Undeserving of a warning that a lecture or a guest speaker may aggravate those issues or traumatic experiences. And just below a promise of inclusivity, respect, and diversity, the university also stated that it would not provide zones on campus for students to freely visit where they can be sure to avoid hateful and re-traumatizing rhetoric. In case, say, someone invites George Will, a Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist, who likes to tell college audiences that rape victims are a privileged class on campus. Boy, that was like a real Dennis Miller kind of side there.
Yeah, what?
Let's see. A fundamental misunderstanding of trigger warnings and safe spaces aren't a way to avoid disagreement or debate. The clinical version first appeared back in the early 1900s, when psychologists were working to classify war neurosis or the trauma of serving in the military that led to the more modern discovery of PTSD and what triggers those painful memories of war. Trigger warnings, as we know them today, gained steam from blogging platforms that emerged with the digital age. They were created as a way to protect users from harmful content that may contribute to pre-existing mental conditions. I.e. sharing photos about an eating disorder that might trigger or, worse, inspire someone who is currently dealing with anorexia. They are potentially life-saving for people who have dealt with traumas like sexual assault, hate crimes, or violence. Eliminating these adversaries? I don't know if that's the right word, but okay. And zones on campus suggest that someone should have to listen to someone who questions their humanity or experience.
Wow.
The kind of insensitive rhetoric also implies that mental health issues or traumatic pasts, those that require a safe space or a trigger warning, render a student weak. Okay. And then it just goes on about the debate about it and why the way colleges talk about trigger warnings matter, blah, 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 bullshit, bullshit, bullshit.
Wow.
And it's the end of the article.
That's bad.
So here is the article that was posted with that trigger warning. Okay. An extremely homophobic comedy routine performed by Eddie Murphy in the 1980s has resurfaced online after it was made available on Netflix. Online video giant Netflix recently made the comic's notorious 1983 special Delirious available for streaming in the UK. The comedy special, which does not include a content warning, opens with a 5-minute homophobic rant. I didn't remember it starting with this. Do you remember that?
It's been a long time since I watched it, but no, I don't remember that.
Here's a little bit of it. He goes, "Faggots aren't allowed to look at my ass while I'm on stage. That's why I keep moving while I'm up here. You don't know where the faggot section is. You gotta keep moving. So if they do see it quick, you switch, and they don't get long stares." Continuing to make anti-gay jokes for several minutes, he claimed he was scared of gay people before insisting straight men could get AIDS because of their girlfriends kissing gay men.
Okay.
Let's see. And it says, false claims that AIDS could be transmitted by physical contact were exploited in the 1980s to perpetuate homophobia and marginalize gay men. The title has a string of one-star reviews from shocked Netflix viewers who were unaware of its extremely homophobic content. One says, "Homophobic crap. This needs to be taken off this site immediately. I was disgusted by it and couldn't watch more than 5 minutes. Unfunny homophobic rubbish." Another adds, "The most homophobic stand-up routine I've ever seen. Can't believe all the messed up things he says about AIDS. Including saying how you'll catch AIDS from your girlfriend if she kisses her gay friends. 80s hateful prejudice in full force." Let's see. Displaying a rating of 15 for the special, Netflix describes it as raunchy. Murphy has long since apologized for the content of the special. He first disavowed its content in 1996, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
When he said, "I deeply regret any pain all this has caused. Just like the rest of the world, I am more educated about AIDS in 1996 than I was in 1981. I know how serious an issue AIDS is over the world. I know that AIDS isn't funny. It's 1996, and I'm a lot smarter about AIDS now. I'm not homophobic, and I'm not anti-gay. My wife and I have donated both time and money to AIDS research. I've had people close to me die from the disease as well. I don't know a person who hasn't been touched in some way by this disease. Everybody knows somebody who is sick. Black people have been hit harder by this disease than any other group of people on the planet." Netflix did not return a request for comment.
Why should they?
Yeah, they're probably like, "Do you want to respond to this? No, it's stupid."
I mean,
it's over 20 years old.
Right. It's a fucking comedy routine. All they're doing is allowing you to watch it.
Yeah.
What, I mean, do you think, like, they're not condoning the content of it. You're just putting it up there to watch. It's a fucking famous routine that he did 30-something years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't know. They sell fucking Mein Kampf in the bookstore.
Netflix does?
No, not Netflix.
Okay.
I'm saying, like, you can go and buy a copy of Mein Kampf.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, I don't understand, like, people, they're so like, "Oh my god, I need to express myself. My rights as a human being, and you know, I can be proud that I'm gay and all." Yeah, okay, cool. But by doing so, you got to take away other people's First Amendment rights or right to view things.
Yeah,
I shouldn't be able to go watch an old Eddie Murphy stand-up because what?
Well, I think their point is, too, it should have a trigger warning in front of it.
A trigger warning?
It should have a trigger warning and say, "Trigger warning, this is from 20-plus years ago and contains viewpoints that were popular then but not anymore. But if you're going to flip out because you hear some guy say some things about gay people, then, you know, don't watch it."
It's the people that freak out about that shit are the same people that freak out about everything. You know? Like, seriously, if you're going to get all jammed up about that, what don't you get jammed up about?
Yeah.
Like, what don't you... It's the same people. It's just, like, no matter what you say, like, they just get... Just look to be offended. So it's like this specific group of people who want it and need the attention of it, that just, like, no matter what you say or what you do, they're going to find a way to be offended. You're really only serving that segment of the population. The other, you know, the other 80% or whatever it is, don't give a shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's... Well, look, at least Eddie Murphy is relevant again. Just briefly.
A little bit.
He's like, damn, I'm in the news again. Ah, it's for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean...
I also, when you were reading that, the apology that he gave back in the 90s...
Yeah, 96.
I also, he should have included in there, and I'd really like to start a family-friendly career, so I'm going to apologize. Yeah. And
I'm really sorry about Beverly Hills Cop 3.
Yes. That's what he should have apologized for.
Yeah. And what is that, Meet Dave?
Meet Dave, oh, when he was the little robot guy or something.
Yeah, and...
Norbit.
A Thousand Words. And,
yeah, what else? I mean, he just... You know what? Hold on. Yeah, a little IMDb here.
Yeah, let's look that up. But hang on, before we go down this rabbit hole, I want to point out that there is a movie that... I'm waiting for people to get offended by, even though it's existed for 73 years.
Preservation.
I think we've talked about it. Holiday Inn is a musical film from 1942 starring Bing Crosby and Fred Astaire.
Mm-hmm.
It has a scene. So basically the story of Holiday Inn is they start... this hotel, but just the only way to get people there is to basically, like, people don't want to go there really, and it's kind of run down, but they buy it, and they do the former performers, and they put on like a show for every holiday.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's now, I don't know if it gets to this much detail, but they'll do like Christmas and Thanksgiving and like Valentine's Day. But I want to say they also do, like, Flag Day and Washington's birthday. But they also do Lincoln's birthday.
Mm.
So they do a show called Abraham. And Abraham, Google, go into the YouTube and put in Holiday Inn Abraham. And it should come up. But they're all in blackface.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
They're all in blackface, and they're singing about, and they have these two little black kids, who are actually black, singing about how great Abraham Lincoln was. But, so there's some controversy about that. Oh, wait, actually I didn't realize this. All right. Beginning in the 1980s, some broadcasts of the film entirely omitted the Abraham musical number staged at the inn for Lincoln's birthday because of its depiction of a blackface minstrel show, incorporating images and behaviors that are now considered offensive. However, because Turner Classic Movies airs films uncut and unedited, the network has left the Abraham number intact during their screening of Holiday Inn. AMC also aired the film intact before they became an advertiser-supported channel. To avoid advertiser objections, the edited version now airs annually on AMC. So they did change it.
Hmm.
They were like, no, we're not editing it. And they're like, all right, you know what, we're going to edit it just so we don't have to deal with you people.
Yeah, you just kind of get rid of it. But I'm
waiting for it's like some celebrity to like post it, and then everybody be like, what the fuck is this? And everybody's going to be upset, even though it happened in 1942.
Right, right.
Before the Civil Rights Movement.
Yeah, and not that... I guess I don't know. I'm sure, like, they knew it was wrong, but, like, it probably didn't have quite the same negative connotation.
Yeah,
like,
no, back in 42, if they knew it was wrong?
I'm sure they knew it was weird. They probably didn't... I'm sure they knew it was wrong, but they probably didn't.
I don't think they necessarily knew it was wrong.
Because
it was just like... It was just past the point of being acceptable, and I had kind of gone out of... like the Black Minstrel Show had just kind of fallen out of it being in existence like 20 years before. I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. But my point is I don't think they knew it was wrong, because I don't think there definitely weren't trigger warnings.
Oh, no.
Back
no,
then. Like, Bing Crosby did not walk in and be like, hey, boo, 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 maybe we should put a trigger warning. And they were like, no.
You don't like beat it, nerd.
Yeah, they're like, no, we're not going to do that. But he's like, oh, okay. I'll just go over here.
Yeah.
Sing White Christmas.
Yeah, trigger warnings. I can't, no.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's just, I don't know, maybe it's because I just don't really get offended, but people realize, like, this, like, it's a problem, like, that people are such pussies now?
Yeah.
Like,
here's the thing.
Like, it's not
unless,
good.
Unless, the only way I think it should be, any kind of trigger warning, and I don't think it should say trigger warning, I think they should just say warning. But let's say I'm still in college. And I'm in the student union, and I see a flyer posted for a talk that some guy's going to give, and it's called Happy Go Lucky Fun Times. But the guy's actually talking about, like, watching friends die in the war. Maybe you should put a warning underneath it and then just be like, he's going to talk about watching people's limbs get blown off.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's even too far, because that could trigger me. So they should be like, he's going to talk about what war is really like.
Isn't the trigger in itself an issue?
Like, you know, saying, like, trigger warning?
Oh, well, yeah. Like, I mean, if you were like, this is a trigger warning for this movie because they use homophobic slurs, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, people are going to get jacked up about that and get mad about that all on its own. Like, where does it end?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I feel like the place where it ends is fucking censorship.
So, because, like, if you, I guess saying homophobic slurs isn't as bad as saying, like I was saying, like, people getting their limbs blown off. Like, if you describe what in detail why you're doing a trigger warning, then that itself would become a trigger if you believe in such things.
Right.
So, but, like, couldn't, what, to a certain extent, yes, but if the talk flyer said the horrors of war, then I'd be like, oh, I shouldn't go see this.
Right.
Because I know it's going to cause a problem.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, just, you know.
Just basically, you want things just labeled correctly, which I can appreciate.
Yeah. And the thing is, on Netflix, I don't think they should necessarily say... Actually, hang on. Let me see. What is the U.S. Netflix? What is their description for Delirious? Is it on here? Because I want to see what they... what their wording is. Because I don't think it should say trigger warning, homophobic slurs. I think it should say, like, caution contains...
rated this for...
Like, do the TV rating. And... Like, TV mature. contains strong language, you know, and offensive viewpoints.
But the problem is that people nowadays need everything just like they need their handheld. It's unbelievable. Like, you put a rating on a movie, you put a rating on a TV show. It's like, hey, this is for mature audiences. You know, this contains offensive language or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Done. Good.
Yeah. Like, this, you know what? It just say what they do on TV. This contains strong language and adult subject matters.
Right. If you don't like it, like, if that's not for you, don't watch it.
Yeah.
But, or, well, it just drives me up the wall, like, how people just can't, like, do the research yourself.
Why,
I don't know.
But here's the thing. So, okay, so I'm looking at it right now. On Netflix, it says, flashing the wild stand-up comedy that made him a household name, Eddie Murphy unleashes uncensored observations and parodies in this 1983 live show. All right, I guess it does say uncensored, but as we're about to talk about, Eddie Murphy started to make a lot of family-friendly stuff. So there are potentially people out there going, oh, it's Eddie Murphy. Like, I know he used to do stand-up, but I just saw him in that lovely movie, Mr. Church, where he, like, raised that little black girl after her mom died or something. Or a white girl after her mom died. I don't know what it's about.
Oh, is that a... Was that a thing?
Yeah, Mr. Church. It's an actual thing. Came out this year.
Mr. Church.
Yeah, Mr. Church. But anyway, point is, like, I can see that. So just a simple warning, hey, this contains strong language. Because it says NR, not rated.
Oh.
Because it wasn't rated. But maybe they should just give it, like, a little TV mature and say, hey, strong language, adult subject matters, and be done with it. And then when somebody's gone through Netflix and they see it, they go, oh, okay, well, I'm not going to do it. That's fine. But they shouldn't, like, edit it and say, like, hey, trigger warning. If you're a gay person, this may trigger you because somebody may have called you the names that he will say now.
Right. Are you easily offended?
Yeah. Did you vote for Hillary?
Yeah, basically.
They should have a little separate subject category on Netflix that said, if you didn't vote for Hillary, and then Delirious is under there.
Yeah. It's like, oh, then you'll probably be okay with this.
Yeah. You did vote for Hillary? Watch Meet Dave.
This is your section over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. So, I'm going through here, and starting... I would say 94 with Beverly Hills Cop 3.
Now, here's the thing. There's two movies in 92 that I've never heard of before. Boomerang and this Distinguished Gentleman. I don't know what those are about.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I'm going to say 92 or 94, depending.
Okay.
Now, I do know Beverly Hills Cop 3, they wanted him to do stuff, and he was like, no, I'm not going to do it. They wanted him to do the old Eddie Murphy, Axel Foley kind of thing. He was like, nope, not going to do it.
Right. Right. So since I don't know what this Distinguished Gentleman shit is, I'm gonna say Beverly Hills Cop 3 was when it started to go downhill. Now, I don't know some of the stuff that he did after that, but let's just take a look here. Beverly Hills Cop 3 in 94. I don't know this Vampire in Brooklyn. Have you ever seen that?
I feel like I've seen part of it.
Yeah.
I don't really remember it.
The Nutty Professor in 1996.
Ugh.
He did A Voice in Mulan in 98.
Wasn't he the dragon? Was he the dragon in Mulan?
Mushu? Was he the dragon?
Yeah. Yeah, he is a scrawny, tiny, red, orange-accented Chinese dragon with blue horns and a cheeky, chappy personality.
Ooh, Cheeky Chappy.
Cheeky Chappy.
Dr. Doolittle in 98.
Oh, wait, yeah, okay.
Holy Man.
Mm-hmm. I think Metro was stupid, too.
Yeah, I don't know Metro. Then he did Life, which I believe was... Was that rated R?
Yes. Yeah, according to Wikipedia, it says last R-rated movie role to date for Murphy.
Okay, yeah, I thought it was. Then he did Bowfinger, mm-hmm. The Nutty Professor 2, Clumps.
Which, you know, Bowfinger was bad because it was Blockbuster Entertainment Award for Favorite Comedy Team. He was nominated for with Steve Martin.
Oh, God. Wow, that's bad. Then, now this is, I think, maybe the last good thing that I liked that he did was The PJs. Which was the Claymation show on Fox.
I'm just looking at his films right now.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at everything. Then he did Shrek.
Mm-hmm. Which?
Which is fine. Which is fine. Not because of him, necessarily, but
Shrek is fine. He's good as the donkey. He was also nominated for a BAFTA award for Best Actor in Supporting Role because of playing the donkey in Shrek. I just want to point that out.
He then was in Dr. Doolittle 2.
Mm-hmm.
He did a video short called Shrek in the Swamp Karaoke Dance Party.
Nice.
Showtime was that with...
Wasn't that with,
De Niro.
Yeah.
De Niro.
Yeah. I don't think that was terrible.
It's got a meta score of 32.
Okay.
I don't think it was that good.
I probably saw it in 02, so...
Yeah. The Adventures of Pluto Nash in 02.
Nominated for a Golden Raspberry Award for Worst Actor and for Worst Screen Couple.
Mm. I think we're gonna have a few...
Wait a minute.
More... What?
Okay, it says... Because it's doing the three of them together... So I guess he was nominated for a Golden Raspberry Award for Worst Screen Couple with either Robert De Niro from Showtime, Owen Wilson from I, Spy, which was his next movie, or himself cloned. So I guess he got three nominations in Worst Couple.
He got three nominations for all three movies he did in 2002. That's bad.
But it was for, like, Worst Couple. Worst Screen Couple. 1997, Worst Screen Couple, Raspberries. Dennis Rodman and Jean-Claude Van Damme in Double Team.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay. Yeah, he got a single nomination for Eddie Murphy with either Robert De Niro or himself cloning. Wow. So they just were just like, look, it's one of the three is the worst one. We're just going to do it all.
Like, you're getting the award somehow.
But he did.
We're going to make sure of it. I know. Who beat him?
It was Adriano Giannini and Madonna in Swept Away.
God.
Also nominated was Britney Spears and whatever his name was in Crossroads.
And whatever his name was.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
All right, anyway.
Let's see. Then I Spy, which I vaguely remember, but that was... idiotic. This might be his crowning achievement next, Daddy Daycare.
Mm-hmm.
Although, actually, it has a higher Metascore than Showtime. It's got a 39. And he's got Shrek 4D, that's a short, The Haunted Mansion, which, I mean, once you start making movies out of Disney rides. Well, I guess it worked with the Pirates of the Caribbean, so
yeah.
I figured why not. Shrek 2, a bunch of more video shorts for
Shrek.
Dreamgirls, which I actually did not see.
I did not see, but I know he got a lot of nominations for it.
Yeah. Norbit. Shrek the Third.
He got a lot of nominations for Norbit to all Golden Raspberry Awards.
Really? Oh.
Worst Actor as Norbit. Worst Supporting Actor as Mr. Huang. Worst Supporting Actress as Rasputia. Worst Screen Couple with either Eddie Murphy or Eddie Murphy again. Worst Screenplay and Worst Picture.
Oh, God. What's Norbit's meta rating?
2?
27.
That's high.
Wow. Yeah, that seems a little high. After that, we've got Shrek the Third, Meet Dave, Imagine That. I don't know what that is. Shrek Forever After, Tower Heist. Was that with
that had a whole bunch of people in it.
Yeah, that was
Ben Stiller was in it.
Oh, still yes, yeah. Yes.
It was
directed by Brett Ratner.
Yeah, it wasn't that
makes so much sense.
It wasn't that great. Its Metascore has to be probably, I'm going to guess, like 41, though.
Actually, it's got a 59.
Yeah.
That's higher than most of what we've seen here.
Yeah.
And then Mr. Church. Oh, 1,000 Words.
And then Mr. Church.
And then they announced, I still don't know if they're still doing it, Triplets.
Oh, yeah, supposedly he's related to Arnold Schwarzenegger and
Danny DeVito.
Mm.
And then he's doing something it's a Richard Pryor story, I guess.
Mm.
And then Beverly Hills Cop 4.
Because
we've all been clamoring for that after the third one.
Well, they were going to do a TV show, and I think they shot a pilot for it, where it's like his son.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, right here, Beverly Hills Cop TV. Oh, that's a TV movie. Yeah. No, you're right, though. I saw that they were doing a Beverly Hills Cop. I don't know what network it's on.
Well, no, I think they did the pilot, and then they were just like, nah, forget it.
Oh, so they're not actually doing it?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it, let's see.
Because I saw a commercial for it. I wasn't sure if it was...
Let's see.
If they ordered it or not.
In January 2013, Ryan stated it's going to be a CBS procedural. Blah, blah, blah. Just bullshit about that.
Yep.
Did they actually make the pilot?
I swear I recently saw something.
I don't think... Are you thinking of Lethal Weapon?
Oh, that is what I'm thinking of. I'm sorry. Yep.
That show is actually not that bad.
Really?
Yeah.
You are 100% correct, sir. That is exactly what I was thinking of.
Yeah. The Lethal Weapon show, not that bad.
Mm. Interesting.
They kind of made it their own thing, but it's actually pretty good. Anyway...
Yeah.
There was something else I was going to say about Eddie Murphy here somewhere, I think.
You're offended by his shitty movies?
Yeah, I think all of his movies should have trigger warnings. All of his bad movies should have trigger warnings. Have you ever sat through a bad movie? Trigger warning.
Trigger warning.
Yeah.
So I think we know what the name of the episode's going to be, right?
Well, it's going to be Trigger Warnings and Deadpool.
Oh, right. So since you lost last year, you should go first.
Okay. Now, I want to say, I did my list last week.
Okay.
Beginning of last week, and I made a list of I had four or five alternates, and I made my list and I put it away. And one of my alternates was Debbie Reynolds.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I was like, shit, that's not working. So, cause I saw, I think it was when I saw that she had Carrie Fisher had the heart attack, I was like, oh, Debbie Reynolds, she might not be able to handle that so well.
Mm.
Depending on what happens, I'm going to put her on my Deadpool. And then she died. Which is very sad. Very, very sad. But
yes.
Add her to the list of people. I have a list of people that Keith should have picked for in 2016, I'm not going to bother reading that since we're already running long. But my favorite one that I've added to the list was China. Could have picked China, the wrestler.
Yes, you should have picked China.
Should have picked China. It did not learn from that mistake. No wrestlers on my list this year.
Really?
No, none. But so, anyway, I'm going first, right?
Yes, you are going first.
All right, my first pick, Queen Elizabeth II.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, didn't she not go to...
She didn't go to church.
She didn't go to church.
She didn't go to church. And that's not good. She's been sick for 11 days with an allegedly heavy cold.
Okay.
My goal this year is to get one. So, since I got zero last year.
Yeah.
Hey, did you ever find out what the wager was?
Oh, I didn't go. We got to go back and.
Yeah, we got to go back and find out. What do we want to wager on this one? Do we want to do a dinner?
Yeah, well, I like that because it's a good. Good old man bet.
Okay, a dinner.
A dinner. Yeah. So, yeah, just a decent dinner, couple beverages.
Okay. I was going to say, do we want, if that's the bet that we did last time, do we want to do the same bet?
That's fine. I think that's what we did.
All right, well, we'll find out. Or it was probably like, we'll figure it out later. We have time.
Yeah, and we literally waited a year.
In which case, I'm fine with making it a dinner, a post-mortem.
Okay, yeah. Unless we go back and find that it was something else, it was a dinner.
Yeah, let's just say it was a dinner. Okay. All right, and this is it for a dinner as well.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to my first pick. I'm going to stick with someone from my previous list,
okay,
and say Harry Dean Stanton.
Okay,
that's man's not he's 90. He's got to go at some point.
Yeah. All right, my second pick. I'm sticking with somebody from my list, Sean Connery.
Okay.
Still has not made many public appearances. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, keeping with that theme, I'm going to go with Roger Moore.
Ooh.
89.
Okay. I sticking with my list too, I think, from last time. I'm going with George Bush Sr.
Yeah, good pick. Good pick. So also sticking with that theme, I'm going to go with Barbara.
Barbara Bush.
Barbara Bush, 91.
Senior's 92 years young.
Yeah, years young.
All right. I'm going with Pope Benedict the 16th or whatever he is, 15th, 16th. I don't know how to read Roman numerals.
But
I'm going with Pope Benedict.
Roman numerals?
Benedict. If I wrote them down right, it's XVI, which is 16, right?
Yes.
Okay.
A lot of Benedicts, huh?
Yeah. A lot of old time ones, yeah.
How old is Pope Benedict?
He's 89.
Wow, he's older than I thought.
But you got to think, he also left the papal office for a reason. Supposedly he's sick.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, Nazi Pope. All right, I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with Tony Bennett.
Ooh.
Yeah. 90 years young.
Okay. I am going with Ross Perot.
Oh my God, he is still kicking, isn't
yeah.
he? Jesus,
that's the
Christ.
One. I was like, "What the fuck happened to Ross Perot?"
Yeah. Yep. No. Yeah. He's totally still alive.
He's at 86. Perot.
Yeah. Wow. I actually, if you had asked me, I would have said he was 90. But yeah.
Although you might have been like, "Is he still dead?"
Yeah. God. All right. My next, I'm going to go with Aretha Franklin.
Ooh, how old is she?
74.
Okay.
Not super old, but just I got a good feeling about it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I got a good feeling about it.
Good feeling.
Kind of actually sticking with that theme of black women singers in their 70s, I'm going with Shirley Bassey.
Oh, I really thought you were going to say Tina Turner.
No, Dame Shirley Bassey. Bassey? I think it's Bassey.
I say Bassey.
I think it's Bassey.
That's what I say. But, I mean, the fuck do I know? All right. I think I'm going to stick with the old WAP singers and go Frankie Valli.
Ooh. How old is he?
82.
Really?
Yes. I actually thought he might be older than that.
All right. I'm going to go with Kirk Douglas.
Kirk? How old is he?
He's 100.
Oh, wow.
He's living on borrowed time, I think.
Ooh. Wow, yeah. Yeah, no shit. Wow, Kirk is old. Let's see. You know... Okay. I know who I'm going with. And this would really pain me to see it happen, but Don Rickles.
Oh, shit. I had Don Rickles.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Okay. He's 90.
Yes, he is.
All right.
Sorry, dude.
That's all right. That's all right. Let me sub in... hang on. Let me... I'm going to pull up my old list for a second here. So I'm going to sub in here. All right, I think I'm going to go with this one. All right, next one, Glenn Campbell.
How old?
He's
mid 80s.
Let me see here. I just subbed him in, so he is 80.
Oh, okay.
But he is sick. I think he's got the Alzheimer's. Is that what he's got?
Oh, does he? I don't know.
Yeah, Alzheimer's.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so he's going to like start forgetting to take his medicine and shit, and then he's done.
Yeah. I mean, he's got people to care for him, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right. Sounds good. Sounds good. How about Bob Newhart?
Ooh, how old is he?
He is 87.
Okay. I'm not feeling too good about my last two picks here.
No? I mean, one of them's your wild card, right?
Oh, you know what? Well, you know what? Actually, I do have a wild card then.
Okay.
I'll sub in. I'm going to scratch both of these. All right. Next one will upset my wife. I'm going Betty White.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got to figure at some point she's got to go.
I think she's like 94.
Yeah. She might even be older than that.
But she's happy. And she's still kind of like working and stuff. So,
oh, you're right. She's,
you know, that keeps him alive.
Yeah.
George Burns was like 102, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna go Betty White.
Okay. Nice. So actually, you kind of inspired me, on the wrestler thing. I'm trying to think if I want to do this guy or not.
Are you going Jesse Ventura?
No, no, I don't think he's in that bad of shape. I'm going to go, wait.
Jake the Snake?
Actually, that might not be a bad one. No, let's go with Ric Flair.
You going Ric Flair?
Yeah. I love him. He's amazing. But he is, he's 67. For a wrestler, he's pushing it.
Mm-hmm.
He like, is. Really pushing it.
He is.
All right. They never make it to 70.
Is this the wild card now?
Last one's the wild card.
My wild card, guy we haven't heard from in a while, and I wouldn't want to see this, but we haven't heard from him in a while, I don't know. I'm going Joe Pesci.
Oh, wow. How old is Joe?
73.
Wow. Huh. Yeah, I hope not, but I mean, certainly could. I don't know how he's doing it all.
Well, his last real film appearance was in 1998, Lethal Weapon 4.
Yeah,
he made a cameo in The Good Shepherd in 06. I guess he was technically starred in a movie called Love Ranch in 2010 that nobody ever heard of. With Helen Mirren. And then in 2015, he was the voice of Mosquito in A Warrior's Tale, which doesn't even have an IMDb, or not an IMDb, it's a Wikipedia page.
Oh, so, wow.
Couldn't have been that good.
No, I'm sure
he probably just needed to pay a bill or something.
Yeah. okay, all right. So that's your wild card?
That's my wild card.
Because you don't think he will, but okay.
The odds are not in favor for that. I think he's the least likely out of anyone that I have on my list.
All right. I, for my wild card, am going to go with Kanye West.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, he's 39, so obviously he shouldn't die. But he is a mental patient. Could be, you know, at his own hand. Who knows? So, I could see that happening.
Well,
just gets hammered, falls off like a balcony or something.
Mm-hmm. When I had Pesci as my wild card, I thought he was like in his 60s.
Like, oh, really?
Maybe like he had just turned 60. I didn't realize he was 73.
Okay.
Yeah,
so that's not, like, super wild cardy.
Yeah, I guess not.
I mean, you can do it if you want, but...
I mean, I'm going to stick with it. Does a wild card give me, like, extra points or anything?
Yeah, you get two. Two instead of one. Ooh. So that's why you're supposed to pick someone that's not, like, you know, probably won't die of old age.
Hmm.
So...
See, but now I have a feeling that Joe Pesci's going to bite it, so I don't want to take him off my list.
Yeah. I'll let you keep it.
All right.
I'm okay with it. Yeah. So, all right. So, those are locked in?
Yeah. Now, did you have anybody that almost made the list that you didn't put on?
Yeah, I actually... I was thinking maybe John Goodman.
Okay.
He's still fat, right?
He's lost a lot of weight.
Yes. That I did. I thought so. I thought he lost some weight, so that was one reason why I wasn't sure. Thought he might have gotten healthy on me. Mm-hmm. I also was thinking of wrestlers. Was thinking of doing The Undertaker.
Ooh.
But I don't know. I just didn't feel like he was ready to go. And then I was also considering Jack. I had him on my list last year. But I don't know. It just I've been putting him on my lists for years,
and he just refuses to die.
Yeah,
I mean, this will probably be the year that he does.
Yeah, watch. Yeah, the year I take him off my list. Yeah. But yeah. So not him either. What about you? What are some that didn't make it on for you?
I was thinking about keeping Burt Reynolds on there.
Oh yeah.
I had Kris Kristofferson.
Mm. Yep. Yep.
Iggy Pop.
Okay.
I was thinking about Tom Brokaw.
Oh, how old is Brokaw?
I don't know. Let's find out. Let's see. I forget that him. I didn't look up.
You know, speaking of Kristofferson,
he's 76.
Okay, yeah. Speaking of Kristofferson, Willie's got to be up there.
Yeah, but he smokes a shit ton of weed.
Yeah,
so he's gonna live forever.
Yeah, he's also. I was just gonna say he's like a weed. Like, I just don't think you can kill him.
Yeah,
like he's just like he has been like a dried out sack of skin for a while now, and if he hasn't gone, yeah, he's kind of like what's his face from the Stones, Keith Richards. So
yeah. He's 83.
Willie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other one I was thinking was Carly Simon.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Good old Carly.
So. We'll get no points if any of those people die, but I want a record that we set it in case
that we set it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed. Okay. Cool.
All right, so those are locked in. I will put up another tracker like I did last time. Just so you can keep an eye out. Maybe I'll put it on the main page of scrupulousproductions.com and people can go there and check out what's up with that. So yeah, all right.
Those are
locked in. Deadpool 2017. Maybe I can get on the board.
Yep.
At least.
Hey.
You were on the board before the episode even went up.
I know. Abe Vigoda was like, we made the list, and Abe Vigoda was like,
dead the next day.
his like last couple breaths as I was saying, I think he's going to die. And, yeah, he was toast.
Yeah, like he was listening to a little ham radio and somehow he heard our Skype call and was like, well, if he thinks I should be dead.
Yeah. I know. Well, he was like, what was he, like 99 or something?
No, he wasn't 99.
He was in his 90s. Definitely.
Was he 99?
Hold on, let me look.
He was 94.
Okay, well, hey, I mean, whatever, 5 years off.
And he died looking exactly the same as when he was born.
Oh, yeah, he didn't age at all.
Like, if you look at a picture of Abe Vigoda in 1975, he looks almost exactly the same. Like, just a couple more wrinkles, but it's just, you're just like, oh, well, that's Abe Vigoda.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, he looked like fucking Sal Tessio, like, his whole life.
Just those big, thick, black eyebrows.
Yeah. Ah. Yeah, the only person with better eyebrows is Scorsese.
Yeah.
All right. It's on. It's a dinner.
All right. It's a nice dinner. A couple drinks.
Yeah, you got to take me out to Mendy's. Buy me a dinner.
Well, yeah, I got to take you to Mendy's. You can't. you better not fucking order the soup.
Yeah, you get the soup. Yeah, no. Another time.
If you get the soup, it counts.
The soup.
We're putting it on record now. Soup counts.
This is lunch at a coffee shop.
Soup counts. All right. Cool. All right, sir. Well, I guess that's an episode.
All right.
It's been like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, more weeks. I don't know. How do we close out? Oh yeah, this has been But You're Wrong. I'm Keith Padilla.
I'm Greg DiNicola.
Remember everyone, no regrets, and
we could do something like nice and be like,
Happy New
Year. And I was gonna say like, and you know, no regrets and best wishes to all of our listeners for a healthy and prosperous New Year.
That's nice. I don't know how I feel about that. Let's try it. Let's see what people say.
All right.
I'm sure no one will say anything.
No, probably not. But whatever. Fuck them.
Yeah.
Something stupid asses.
Yeah. We should put trigger warning. They say something nice in the description.
Yeah. Trigger warning.
They actually say something nice at the end.
Yeah. They're acting decent.
All right. So how are you, sir, in general?
Thank you for listening to the Bet You're Wrong podcast. If you like what you hear, check us out on Twitter at BYW Podcast. You can also check us on Facebook at facebook.com/ButYou'reWrong. And if you have any grievances to air, be sure to email them to BYWPodcast@gmail.com.